Okay, the next major component when I speak about in terms of Geirus, we spoke a lot about the different processes of Geirus, the Mila, Tilik, Mos Mitzvahs. Another question becomes the role of Beis Din in Geirus. Also a very, very loaded topic, both in terms of halacha and numbers, and in terms of some serious ramifications in front of that. So the sugya begins in Maseches Yevamos, and the Gemara actually derives from different sukkim. There's a din of Mishpat. The Torah says Mishpat Ksivdei. In at least two places, the Torah uses the word Mishpat in the context of Geirus. And the Gemara says, here we derive a dim in the Torah that a Beis Din is necessary for Geirus. Geirus is guy, but no Ben Hatzpah, you know Geirus. It's a dim in the Aisa that Geirus is absolutely, Beis Din is absolutely massive. The question we have to define is what exactly constitutes a Beis Din, and then we have to define which aspects of Geirus are really critical for Beis Din to be playing a role in. So what defines a Beis Din, the Gemara speaks about Geirus Shloisha, the three Dayanim, which in and of itself is a highly controversial statement, because those who learned at the beginning of our second edition may well remember that not every Beis Din halach is made up of three Dayanim. It's about the name of 23 and 71, but at least the minimum Beis Din is three. But even that's not true, because the Gemara quotes in Machlekes Amarayim, the beginning of Gimel, the Balam, the Sefer Sanhedrin, as to what the bare-bone minimum of Dayanim is with the Raisa for a case of Dini Mamadis. The Gemara says that certain types of Dini Mamadis require three Dayanim. We learned that from some of the Parshas Mishpatim. Those were called Gzelis V'Chavolos. Anything that has to do with damaging people, with punching people, stealing from some people, those for sure require three Dayanim with the Raisa. Then there's a whole second half of Dini Mamadis, which are Hodos V'Chavolos, dealing with contracts and loans and pikadons, business deals, etc. Those kinds of halachas are not even clear that they require three dayanim of their aisa. So it's machlekes amarayim, machlekes yisham halacha. How many dayanim do you really need for cases of hodos v'havos? In Lahavu of hodos, in American law also, law of mamonis is broken out into two categories. There's torts and then there's contracts. Anyone go to law school there? What's the first year of law school? Is that one half a year is torts, one is contracts? Is that true? Something like that. Okay, I think so also. Okay, I didn't go to law school with my roommate did. So when Rabbi Rapp and I roomed together, so he was in law school. I probably was law school more than he was, but I wasn't in law school. But I used to read his books all the time. So I always liked torts. I always found much more exciting because people were breaking people's windows, killing people, you know, robbing people, beating people up. Contracts is very boring, you know. This guy runs a contract, which contract kind of stuff is very boring. I like Bav Metzia, but somehow in secular law wasn't exciting. But Lahavu and Halachas and Malakama is torts, and Bav Metzia is more contracts. Fine. Anyway, so the Gemara has Machlekes in Sanhedrin, so which cases require three Dayanim in their Isis? So the Rishonim and Bava D'Kasha, if you hold that you don't really need three Dayanim in their Isis for Hodos or Havos, so why does the Gemara speak about Geirus needs three? The whole drush is Geirus Shalash Mishpat Ksivdei. How do you know which Mishpat to compare it to? If you hold like that opinion, that all cases, all the mamonis needs three, then Geretz are Shloisha, Mishpat Ksivdei, basically need three there. But if you really hold it at a level of Deraisa, you can get away with one dayan for Hodos Vavos, so how do you know that Geirus is compared to torts? How do you know Geirus is Nazikin? Maybe Geirus is closer to the model of Hodos Vavos. So Rishonim and Bava D'Kasha, so there are a lot of answers that are given to the Kasha. So there's one day in Rishonim that says that the question is better than the answer. One day Rishonim says that we take a paskin hodos vavos is one that Rishonim says, and therefore with the rice you only need one dayan. That is not true. The Geirus of Shloisha is not a true statement. That all you need is one dayan because Geirus tach is no worse, no more chomer than hodos vavos. But nobody passes like that. Shulchan Aruch that's not quoted. We paskin either in Shulchan Aruch that even hodos vavos require three, or we assume that even though hodos vavos require one, maybe still Geirus is compared to the higher standards of Dayan. So the bottom line is it's a nice theoretical terence that the board of Yivam is called the Kishita, but the Allah Rabbi said nobody else. So when you pass it, you need three Dayanim, that's an absolute given. But so come to all the Rishayim and Baal and Kasha, if it's really true that Geretz of Shalash Bishmas Ksivbeh, you need three Dayanim, what constitutes a standard of Dayanim? What constitutes a Kasha Dayan? So those who remember back from the beginning of Sanhedrin, again, the same story, that there's a principle called Dayanim Smuchim. In order to be a Dayan, in the love of the Araisa, in order to pass in anything in the Dini Mamonis at a level of their rights, you have to have smicha. Smicha doesn't mean what we call smicha. That means smicha, authentic smicha, ishra, smicha, and ishra, benu. That's been out of practice for about 1700 years. In the days of the Amoraim, smicha was still around, the early Amoraim, but the days of the Amoraim, so smicha already disappeared. Why did smicha disappear? Very simple. It can only be given in Eretz Yisrael, because we just heard all the talks, those were at the meal, so the Eretz Yisrael was out of commission for 1700 years. There were still some, there were always Jews living in Israel. There were always a Jewish community, small pockets of Jews in Israel. Not all the years, but in terms of being a functioning, a Torah, you know, a thriving place, so it's not much didn't exist. But the day is already revived. Rav Eilach, Smicha was already in his Bakla. He can't get Smicha in Bakla. So all the time, it became that all the great in the Chum, they're not Musmachim, they're not have authentic Smicha. So comes the Gemara in the beginning of the eighth parak of the Sefer. The Kalman raises the question, if we don't have authentic Smicha, so what are we doing today? How do we have a new Torah? We have Beis Din of America, we have the Beis Din of Yaguda, we have Beis Din, a lot of other things floating around. What right do we have to sit in the Torah? If we don't have, Smuchen, we have no right to sit in the Torah. So the Gemara gives an answer. So the Gemara says, no, it's based on the principle called Shlichus Hayom, that we are the representatives of the previous generations. We've been appointed as agents of the previous Bata Dinim, and we still have a right to Paskin Dinim Torah. So we can still breathe a sigh of relief, and we're still allowed to have Dinim Torah, even though we don't have authentic Smuchen. So the Rishonim and Yavam Sabah with the Kashia, how do we have Gavus Bezman Hazeh? How would the world be sitting in a basin for Gavus? If we're not Mismachim, we don't have the proper Smicha. So some of the Rishonim say that, well, it's the same answer that the Gemara gave to the question about having Dinei Torah. How can we have Dinei Mavus Bezman Hazeh, we don't have Smicha? So the answer was Shlichus Hayom. We're the agents of the Dayanim, the original Dayanim. So too, we have some of the original agents vis-a-vis Gavus. So that, we can evoke that principle of Shlichus Hayom to justify us having Gavus Bezman Hazeh. So the Ramban in the second Zivamus, in the fourth prayer, quotes this answer. And he rejects it. He says, what thing is right? He says, this principle of Shlichus Hayom, what kind of din is this? It's not a din in the Torah, it's a din in the Rabbanu. What kind of game, what kind of joke is this? Shlichus Hayom. You're a shaliach of the Beis Din. The Batei Dinim that appointed you to the shaliach have been dead for 1,700 years. So how can you have shlichus after the Mishalech is dead? What kind of shlichus is this? It's Shiva Gufo. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Rabban says that the whole institution of Shlichus Hayom was made up by the Rabbanon, the Afghan in the realm of Dinim Amres, and they have the rule of Dinim Amres, they have to make an Afghan. In the realm of Amres, they can do whatever they please. So then the Rabban asks himself, but we find Shlichus Hayom working at this and after as well, like one of the enemies that is given tells us that in order to force a person to do it again, you have to be a dying Savuch. Get per se doesn't require days in Shosmicha. According to many, it doesn't require days in altogether. But in order to force a person to give a get, so that's what the Gemara learns after the passage, Ve'elam Shvat V'Shatosim V'Fneim, anytime you have a Simas Adayonim, anytime you have to enforce anything in Halacha, so you have to come onto the parasha of Mishpatim, that's called the Mishpat, and therefore you need Smicha. The Gemara says, how could you be Kaifa Gittin Bizman Hazeh? The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi, when Surah Yosef forcing him to give a get, so Rabbi asked him, but you don't have Smicha. So Rabbi Yosef responded to him, Shlichus Hayom, that we're the Shlichim of the original Beit. So the Rabban says, according to what I'm saying, that Shlichus Hayom is going to be the Rabbanon, how does that work for a get? The Rabban said, no, get it. We also could change the rules, because it's called Mekadosh and the Rabban Mekadosh, and we can refer the original condition. So the Rabban says, any and every place in Shas where we find Shlichus Hayom, either by Mumnus or by Yom of Kippur, those are all could be understood in light of the fact that Shlichus Hayom is going to be the Rabbanon. You want to take a guy and make him Jewish? If you're going to make a guy Jewish based on Shlichus Hayom, that's ridiculous, says the Rabban. So that can't be the Pshat. The Rabban searching for the Pshat. So after he finishes searching for another Pshat, then the Rabban throws his hands up and says, you know what, maybe I'm wrong with what I said. Maybe Taisus Teretz Shlichus Hayom is right. Maybe the Rishon Lishon Shlichus Hayom is right. Maybe Shlichus Hayom is there himself. Maybe. Rabban at the end of the hems and haws, he's not sure. So it's the Sofik in the Rabban. So if you want to say, you have good Bekiyas, it's not just the Rabban, it's the first Nesivus. If you want to tell it, the very first Nesivus, so the very first Nesivus has the Sofik. On his own, he raises the Shayim, Shlichus Hayom, the Reis of the Rabban, he quotes him, of course, and he finally discovered the Rabban. So if it sounds fancy to say, see the Sibanam, so then you go down to the Rabban before the friend of the Sibanam. Had a fellow once told me a story that he was in the Beis Medrash somewhere, and he was looking around for Sibas or something, and it was like the different print in the Sibas that he was used to looking at. What's such a great couple of regular guy? It's just like a little bit different edition. So if you want to make a little etzana, so the guys who, maybe like a little more mild guys who are chareid looking shiva. So they asked him, what are you looking for? So he said, I'm looking for a sivus. So he said, no, I can't use this sivus. I'm so used to the other print, you know, it's so shit, you know, in my mind, I can't even. So he said, everyone's like, this guy, you know, he knows that he can't even look at a different sivus. He's so good. Yeah, can't even know how to make the pages. Okay. So anyone who never opened up the Sibus still knows the Sibus and Alice does not. Okay, good. Back to the story. So we're still searching for how you explain away this idea of a Beis Din for a Gavus Bezman Hazeh. If it's not based on Shlichus Hayom, what could it possibly be based on? There is the Chiddush Aran in the beginning with the Sanhedrin that had a totally different understanding of Shlichus Hayom later that for sure can't work for Gavus. Aran says that Shlichus Hayom is not a way of being machshir and din Torah. the Messiah was addressing the fact that you're not allowed to go to a non-samuch. The Ran explains there are two halachas. There's one din that there's an iser to go to a non-samuch, that's going to be zoyer to the mizmachim. And then there's another din that if you went to a non-samuch, the din is bottle. The non-samuch doesn't have the character to pass to the din. So the Ran says the fact that the din is kayam, bizman hazeh, without smuchim, that's based on hefker, based on hefker. But there's still a problem. What right is an iser going to go? It's a bizarre to get a problem to go to the non-samuch. That's what the Ran says, that's what Shubhasav is. Shubhasav is just a matir to go to the non-samuch. It doesn't create the chalos of the din. The chalos of the din is created because of hefker, based on hefker. All Shubhasav does, it's matir to go. So according to the Chiddush HaRan, of course we can't discuss Shubhasav by Geirus. By Geirus, we want to know, is the guy Jewish? I don't care whether I did something wrong by going to the Chabach. I'm positive, is the guy Jewish or not? So according to the Ran, it's not even shaykh to invoke Shubhasav. According to one time in Rabban, it's not shaykh to talk the language of the Messiah, because that was only with the Rabbanah. So if you don't, if you buy either into the Chiddush HaRan or the Ramban, so how does Geirus work this man is there? And Lamaisa, we know we do Geirus. Amorim do Geirus. The Gemara tells stories in Yavam, so later Amorim are doing Geirus. So they didn't have smicha. They knew they didn't have smicha. So what in the world were they doing? How in the world were they doing Geirus? So Taisus quotes from Rabbeinu Nesanah. Well, the Taisus is dug up another reason. He says, it's a throwback to the Gemara that we started with the very first week, the Sugi and Priestess of that test. The Gemara says that the bringing of a korban is not an akiv for a Geirus. Why is that? Even though we know tefillah of ma'akev, everything that's laid out in my tershin ma'akev. Why manishtana that korban is not ma'akev? The Gemara says, we're going to say, I think, too. And then it's a cause that the Torah says, the geirus must go on, the show must go on. In all generations, the Davis will be able to have kabbalah geirus. Even though the Rebbe Shalom knew full well, that in the coming generation, there's no way to have a kdush. The Apa Kishen, he wrote into the Torah section, that teaches us that the show must go on. Even though you can't, whatever component of Geirus is just not practical to be met historically, it's not ma'akev. And therefore, the Geirus can take place without a korban. So Ben Misano said, that's not just a din by korban, that's a din by all the protocol of Geirus. Any aspect of Geirus that can't be met, need not be met. And therefore, with Man Hazeh, we can't have smuchet, because we don't have it. The Rav Shalom knew that. The Rav Shalom gave Hashem the Torah, and he wrote into the Holy Torah, the Torah of Sechem, Alpha Pikin, the Rav Shalom knew that there's going to come a time in America, Toshin Ayat Chesed, the Rav Dayan Smuchim, and the Dor HaSechem Ksiv. The Dor HaSechem trumps the din of Smicha. The same way the Dor HaSechem trumps the din of Korban, the Dor HaSechem trumps the din of Smicha as well. So this is Rabbi Nisano's guess. So again, all these Shem are guessing. They're trying to figure out, well, how is it that we have Geirus? Everybody knows we have Geirus. All the Shem did Geirus. Shulchan Aruch talks about Geirus. Yeah, but Rav talked about Geirus, even though they didn't have Smicha. So how do you solve that problem? So one solution was through Shlichus Sayim, against the Chiddush HaRan and Rabban. The Shlichus Sayim is Mamash HaDin Deraisa. Maybe it's exercise. So other Rishonim are trying to search. He went searching to solve this problem. So the Rashi in Yavama says it must be kachnim halach. Must be absalach mashtinis. You don't need smicha. Doesn't make any sense. That must be the way it is. Kachnim. So if you look in the Rambam when he presents the dinner of Geirus to Surbiya, you get the impression that the Rambam wasn't even bothered with the kasha. The issue with the Rambam is we don't have the Rambam's perish of shas. The reason why there's such ambiguity in the Rambam is we have a shas and we have a Rambam. There's a missing bridge. Well, let's say, when you open up Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, there's no missing bridge. The bridge is there. It's called the Beis Yosef. So you open up the Beis Yosef, and you see how the Shulchan Aruch got from the Gemara to the Shulchan Aruch. But the Rambam, that bridge is missing. The Rambam apparently wrote some kind of a parish on the Gemara, so it explained how he got through it, but he got lost in time. He got lost in the shovel. I guess it's in a certain sense, it would have put a lot of Rashidis out of business if it were bad. It's the Shekholi, you know exactly what the Ram Tovah is saying. So we have very, very little to go in terms of that bridge. We have to almost make up the bridge in between. So the Rambam, not a bit again, but a good one. So the Rambam, we don't know how the Rambam answered this question. He must have been bothered with this kasha, but we're not quite sure how he answered the question. But you do get the impression from the Rambam that he almost wasn't even bothered with the kasha. But the Rambam talks about days and forgiveness. And he doesn't even reference the fact, doesn't even like mention the fact that, by the way, Beizin means something different here than it meant to Hilchos Sanhedrin. He somehow ignores the whole topic, which led some to believe that the Rambam held to the question never really get off the ground in the first place. What do you mean never get off the ground? The whole mocha for Beizin is from Beizin and Dinim Amunis. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin says, Pem Malim. Of course you need Beizin for Dinim Amunis. Of course you need Smuchim for Dinim Amunis. So how did the Rambam ignore the Kasha? So the Rav has a whole shtick of Torah, but that's a Rambam. To explain, this is a fundamental question, what exactly smicha is all about? What's the nature of smicha when it comes to Tayyarim? So one can raise the following shadow. Is smicha a function of the Gavra, namely, that in order to have the title, You have to have Rabbi Dr. Dayan, you have to have an official title called Dayan Samuch. So if you don't have that title, so up you did, you're not a gaffer of a Dayan. You know, you can't serve a Beis Din because you're not a Dayan. Is that the pshat? Or the dip smicha is not emanating from the gaffer, it's not a title of the gaffer. Rather, smicha is a function of the psak. The whole idea of the psak of a Beis Din is supposed to be, when you ask your shayla, so the Beis Din aren't speaking just to stomp three individuals, you're speaking as a representative of the Masura. The original Masura, you went to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu answered your shaylas, so now Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being, so he died. So then, the Baruch Hashem set up a system that his Talmidim take over, and then their Talmidim take over, so that's when the Baruch Hashem runs the world. So whenever you go to a Beis Din, you go to a rabbi, so he's supposed to be representing the Masura. So it could be that the idea of smicha is that gives a stamp of approval to the psak. A psak that's emanating out of a body that is authorized in smicha is an effect. That's Moshe Kiyo Torah Sinai. That's the psak that's emanating from Moshe Sinai. If you have a Dayan who doesn't have smicha, so he's just shooting the breeze, he's telling you a story, maybe he's right here, but he's not Moshe Kiyo Torah Sinai. He cannot be Moshe Kiyo Torah Sinai when it's coming from Pishad Moshe Rebbe. But the truth is that not all areas of psak require that. So you have a Shaluch HaZal V'yavah, you don't have to go to a Dayan Tzom. A Shaluch HaShabbos. There are certain areas of Halacha that require a psak called Moshe Kiyo Torah Sinai. Nefashas and Imamnis and Kishachai, and those kinds of things require Moshe Kibbutz Abbasina, definitely require a Dayan of Muslochim. Might have Kibbutz at the end of the day whether the Smich is a function of the Shay Gavr of the Dayan, or whether it emanates from the Tzach, the Chorachap and Afkimina. But if you have an area of Halacha where you require a Beis Din, you require a Shay Dayan, you require a Shay Beis Din, but the Beis Din is not issuing any something. This is not an area of Psak Halacha, this is an area of a Maisa Beis Din. So this is not the only time we find this. It's almost like Chalitza. The chalitza requires 3 dayanim. Not 3 dayanim. The chalitza is bottles. It's possible. It's possible in a Torah. So there, the Beis Din for chalitza is not really issuing anything. The Beis Din for chalitza is just serving as a body of 3 people. The chalitza and all the kedim. Now it could be a shayla will come up with a chalitza. It's possible, but the Beis Din doesn't have to discuss the shayla. They can call up the rabbi with a bucket of chalitza. They'll call up the rabbi. Rabbi should tell them what to do. It's not the same as the din tarif. The din tarif, so the dayanim are the poskim of the shayla. Din nefashas, the dayanim are the posik, whether he's chayav himself or the misa. In chalitza, you don't need this tremendous nechum to be a dayanim of chalitza. You have to have a shame based on that. Three dayanim, that's what Tosfos raises the question at the very beginning of this chalitza. The Gemara says, how do you know you need 3 dayanim for chalitza? So the Gemara says, it says the word zakeyim, and that's a lashon rabim, and ein beis din shokol, therefore you need 3. So Tosfos says, the kasha, Ein Beis Din Shokol makes a lot of sense when you have a Beis Din that's passing a Shabbos. Otherwise, you're left with a topic. You can have 11 on 11, so therefore you need a third. You need a 23rd dayan. You can have 1 on 1, you need a third dayan. But Rishtay, how do you know that Ein Beis Din Shokol applies even when you have a Beis Din that's only serving as a Beis Din, Shalmai's a Beis Din? So Tosos raised that question. It's not Abba Bichain, that's the din that Tosos got today. And one day it does this. No, Ein Beis Din Shokol is a din, the minion of dayanim. It doesn't matter whether they're passing or not. But it's clear that the Beis Din Chalitza is not really passing in the shadow. So the Gemara says in the beginning of the parashah, Chalitza, that you don't need Dayan Smuchim for Chalitza. We'll leave that from Sukkim, that you don't need Dayan Smuchim, otherwise we would have trouble having Chalitza with one of them. So the Rav explained to Das Aram, what's the nature of that din? You don't need Dayan Smuchim for Chalitza. Is that the stomach Xerxes Kosov? No, it's not Xerxes Kosov. Because Chalitza is not the type for Beis Din that lends itself to a psak. So therefore the whole idea of smicha doesn't really get off the ground. So the Rav said, Boshal without mother, the Beis Shogeris. Beis Shogeris is not a Beis Din Chalitza. It's not exists a cost of the Alma that Beis Din Chalitza is different. The nature of the Din is that because the role of the Beis Din is different, therefore it wouldn't make any sense. The whole idea of Smicha isn't place-based. That's Shadow. You can't talk about a concept of Smicha, it doesn't make any sense when you're not passing in Shadow. All you're doing is a Mesa Beis Din. It's like Boshal without the Beis Din, because said, the Lord says in the Darim that if you go to the Darim, you go to the Darim in one of 2 ways. You need to go to 3 regular guys. What are one mumcha? Yachid mumcha. So it's my point is the Rabban and the Rabban. What are the criteria of the Yachid mumcha? So the Rabban says he has to be somuch. The Rabban has to be a somuch. He has to be a tapcha. He has to go to the Darim. You need to go to 3 regular guys who learn the Darim quickly up there. You need to go to 1 guy who really learns how to be a sechta. He's going through. So you have to go to a mumcha. A mumcha doesn't mean a somuch, says the Rabban. So the Rabban explained it's the Rabban she does. It wouldn't make any sense that the Allah would require to go to a Dayan Samuch for a Torah to Torah. Torah to Torah is not a psak either. The role of a Torah to Torah is to be a Maisa Beis Din, to be a Maisa Beis Din. Now, the Dayanim have to know a little bit, so they have to sometimes deliberate, they have to discuss, is this a good, can you be Matin Lev, is this a good Pesach Bichara, do you need a Pesach Bichara? So there are shadows that come up, the same way there are shadows that come up in the Salitza. Those shadows are sent off to somebody else, or to them, whoever's the biggest expert. But in terms of the role of the Beis, when the Beis is not, Beis and Shalpais, give it up, Sakalach, the Beis and the Beis. So therefore, there are thoughts that according to the Rambam, the question will get off the ground. It's not that, hey, you need smicha, how do you solve it? So shmichusayu, there's l'roseichem, l'holachom ha'fasina. All the Yishev are scrambling for reasons why you need, how can we do geirus with man, zavadat smicha. The Rambam wasn't scrambling for anything. So the Rambam explained, the Ramban is scrambling with shidasai. Because the Ramban held that smicha is a din of the shem gavra, the shem dying. That's why the Ramban holds for a dying for a tarsh, the darv needs smicha, the one dying needs smicha. So the Ramban, the shidas was bothered with the kasha. So he got into trouble, shmichusayu, yeah, no, they're actually the Ramban. The Rambam wasn't bothered with the kasha. So when all the dust settles, everybody agrees that we can do geirus b'zman hazeh on the love of their eyes. Either it's based on shukosai, based on their say, it's based on Moshe Sinai, it's based on the task. The bottom line is, as long as you have dayanim, they need not be smuchim. But what do they have to be? They still have to be dayanim. They still have to have the bare bone minimum. Otherwise, it's not mishpat techlal. So they have to at least have the standards minus the criteria of smicha. They have to have the standards of being kosher dayanim. What goes into being a kosher dayan? Being a kosher dayan. So the Mishnah tells us in the Masechet Nidah that if a person is possible to be an aid, then by definition, it seems to be what the Mishnah said, by definition, they're possible to be a dayan. So that just pushes the question back. So what do you have to do in order to be a kosher aid? So in order to be a kosher aid, so you have to be someone who's out of Russia. If someone halachically lived as a Russia, then they can't be an aid. They can't be an aid. Then by definition, by extension, they can't be a dayan either. What makes a person qualified to be a Russia? So that's the famous command of the Rebbe. We want to talk about two different kinds of Rishon. There's what we call a Rosh HaDechamah. Rosh HaDechamah means someone who takes money shalakim in. So that's the Pasuk Chumash. Of Toshis Yonchim Rosh HaDechamah. Chamas. Chamas means stealing. Chamas. Kibolats. Chamas Nipneim. The very word Chamas means. So that's one of them. Which is an interesting Western organization. So the name. That's what it means. That's the essence of the name. It means Mamash Kazlan. So the... Mamash Kazlan means violent death. That's the word Chamas means. So the Gemara says the third prayer said, if a person is a bank robber, so about the apostle to be an aid. That's goes without saying. That's Altash HaShachavash HaChamas. Then the Gemara goes on and says that you have a person who does other kinds of avers, even though they're not monetary avers per se, but they're avers that show a lack of adhering to his beliefs. It shows that the person is very easily convinced to do things that a Shalika did. The Marshal, a person, he believes that he's supposed to be kosher. When he walks past McDonald's, he comes to his Yetzer and he eats the McDonald's. So the Gemara says that's also called a Rosh HaDechamah. Why is that called a Rosh HaDechamah? So it's Machlek and Rishonim. Why? So some Rishonim say, because why is he eating the tray for food? Because it's cheaper than the kosher food. Because a tray for a hamburger costs $1.50, a kosher hamburger costs $15. So he's also a Rosh. He's also Rosh HaDechamah. It means he's compromising his beliefs to make a few dollars. So either he robs a bank against his belief, he's not supposed to steal from people, but he does it anyway. When he cheats in business, he knows he's not supposed to, but he does it anyway because he wants a few more dollars. So too, he eats trade because he wants to save a few dollars. Another Rishon says, no, it's not because he's saving the few dollars. The reason why the guy who eats trade is a Russian to Hamas is because Hamas doesn't mean dafka money. Hamas means that he's compromising his morals and his ethics for some personal gain. So sometimes the personal gain is a few dollars in his pocket. Sometimes the personal gain is a few good-tasting pieces of meat in his stomach. So he can't control his yitzhara. So you see that the guy just pushing can't control himself. So the fellow can't control himself not to eat a cheeseburger. Next week, if somebody hands him $100 and says, yeah, go test my false, he's going to take the bribe. So you can never believe such a person. This is based on emes. It's got to be 100% emes. To be shekhet tircha. So therefore the Torah says, anyone who's a chumas type of a personality, either because he mamash cheats in business, or he mamash breaks into banks, or he eats cheeseburgers, those are all people are Risham Dechot. So those people for sure apostle the Eidus, and by extension the apostle of the Yom. Why is the Machlek is a bad rabba? But if you have a fellow, he doesn't compromise any of his beliefs. He's a very, very ethical, moral person. It's just that he's not interested in keeping religion. He's not interested in being kosher. Why? Because we call it Mumla Hachis. Hachis doesn't mean that he wants to give a Rosh Shalom Tzaris. It means he couldn't kill us. If he'll have a kosher cheeseburger, kosher hamburger, and a non-kosher hamburger in front of him, and they're the same price, and the same taste, he'll go for the trade for him. He doesn't believe. He's not from. He doesn't care. It's a loch patlo. That's called the Rosh. That's called the Mumla of the Vez Tahachis. It's not Latayo, but it's Mamash Lahachis. So the Gemara's Machlekes is Amarayim, whether that person is kosher or Levitus or not. So, and then by extension, we need to be kosher with Dayanus. What's the Shaila? So Rava says he's kosher. You know why? He's an honest guy. There's nothing wrong with him. The guy who believes in Yiddishkeit and he really doesn't want to eat cheeseburgers but he can't control himself, we have to be nervous that he's going to take a bribe. But the other person who's true to his beliefs, which is he has a fakrut system of beliefs, we should try to get him to be Yishomitar Mitzvahs. So according to Rava, such a person is kosher to be a name. And we don't pass it. We pass it like a matter. We pass it that in Russia, even the law of the Chodos is possible to be Yishomitar and an extension to the Yonis. Why is that? Why do we pass it like a Abaye? This is one of the Avagavim. What's the logic of Abaye? That's a further question. Did Abaye mean to say that we can't trust this guy also? Because Abaye held that you can't have ethics without religion. That was inclusive of religion. Rava said you can have ethics without religion. The guy can be an honest guy. He won't take a bribe, even though he's not from. And we say no. We say the only thing that will safeguard on the level of their eyes is going to tell the truth is the fact that he believes in the higher authority regarding Shalom. He crashed within his business. Well, it's better now that this is not a philosophical question. Abai also agrees that in theory the guy's telling the truth, but Abai says it's called a Rasha. So Rasha is a Rasha. According to Abai, when the Torah says, Lios Atash is Yachim Rasha, Lios Eid Chamas, it's a long Dishamach, like he's had a tight step post. According to Rava, Atash is Yachim Rasha, who is a Rasha? And Eid Chamas is a Rasha. According to Abai, you know, it's two different, he has an apostle. Atash is Yachim Rasha, sick, finish, end of discussion. If he's a Rasha, he's a Rasha. And then there's another kind of guy in Eid Chamas. How do you define a Russia? A Russia doesn't mean monetary necessarily. A Russia means who the Torah calls a Russia. Who does the Torah call a Russia? Anyone who violates Chayvim, he says, Bezdin is a Russia. Because the Torah says, Rosikh Hudefah, Yu Russia Lavus. Anyone who violates Makas is also a Russia. It says, Hayyam bin Hakos a Russia. Anyone who's Chayvim Makas is called a Russia. So we pass the Kabbai. That's how the Rambam presents this vision of Poseidus. And we pass the Kabbai. Anyone who halachically is called a Russia is automatically possible to hear this. So it comes out that you can be possibly Eidos for multiple reasons. Either you're possibly Eidos because you're dishonest, because you're a cheater, because you're a ganav. That's one way. But the other way to be possibly Eidos is if you're a Russia, i.e. if I'm a Chivay Malchus, Chivay Misa, whatever case it is. So any one of those people who is possible to Eidos is by definition possible to be honest. You have to be very careful. You have to die on a Geirus. You have to be an honest fellow. The guy's Mamsha crook. He's a cheater. He cheats a business. He's a ganav. So then he's possibly Aedis, possibly Aedis, and that throws into question the whole role of the dying also. And similarly, if the dying's not up to par in terms of Shmiz and Hitchas, maybe every once in a while speaks a little Lashon Hara, okay? Lashon Hara is not having knowledge, it's not having space, it's not a good thing, that doesn't make you possibly Aedis. But if the guy eats treif, the guy in the Chol Shabbos, the body's possibly Aedis.
He's only Russia if there's Edom and Hasra.
So that's another story. If he doesn't really need Hasra, that means we have to know that he's really a Rush. Let's say the guy's a Shoykik, he doesn't know that's treif. That's a different story. That's a Sugi in Sanhedrin. That if a person violates a Veris, he wasn't even aware he was in a Veris, that doesn't become
well,
a problem.
Well, I think he was aware. But
he was aware, and we know that he's aware, because we don't have a formal Hasra, because we know that he's amazing, and yet, he shouldn't be an A. What if you have a person who is not a Mami, who doesn't believe in the basic fundamentals of our Amunah system, so the Rishonim, right, so the person is a whatever you want to call it, whatever the details of what constitutes a kairos. So such a person is not supposed to be an aid either. The person is not supposed to be a dying either. So that poses a whole, a whole limitation to many people. So you have a lot of people out there who, even if they may be quote unquote shomer mitzvahs to a very basic, let's say, if the guy mamish drives on Shabbos, you have a particular person he drives. We know everyone knows he drives on Shabbos. So of course he's in the Chol Shabbos, and about these possibly aliens. Of course he can't be a diet. If a guy doesn't eat kosher, he goes to McDonald's, eats out and trade for restaurant. He's a kosher homie, eats out and trade for restaurant. So the guy, everybody knows that. So he's eating mamish trade for eats chazan, eats whatever he eats. So that's clearly a possibly aliens. But you can have a guy who keeps the basic semblance of a Torah lifestyle, but he doesn't believe in the Rav Hashem, doesn't believe in Torah, doesn't touch about Peh, he has all kind of happy curses, shak stuffers. If they're really truly happy curses, that's a big problem. Such a person should not be sitting on a day.
Do we assume that people are bechazkas kashrus when it comes to their mitzvahs, or
it depends? What their background is, what the context is. See, if you see a regular guy in yeshiva, guy's looking at sitting and learning 12 hours a day, and he looks, like a fine Ventura, and we haven't. He didn't write any articles that seem to indicate that he's a Kohen. He hasn't published any papers. He doesn't send any blogs about the Kohen. So you assume he's probably okay. But if you have a guy who every other word that comes out of our house is Yuru Batorah, so then about that he shouldn't be sitting on a daisy. He shouldn't be in teaching his Mishnah. That's another story. Oh, anyway, not for that. Okay. He should remain online. Not for that. Good. So that's that story. So this is a very, very serious problem. This is, of course, this is disqualified. This in and of itself will knock out of the box many garrison that are being done by, that have been done over the years by people who are just partially in the ABCs in terms of being kosher dayan. That's what the Polsky will write. But there's many issues about this. We have the garrison that were being done by people who were quote unquote called, you know, certain figures of religious leadership. But we know that they were a precursor to the Guru. We know that they were called from the Torah, that believe in the basic tenets of Torah and Hashemayim. We know they drove on Shabbos to Shul. They sort of violated Kamal Kamal. Their wives didn't go to Mikvah. Kamal Kamal, soon, Chamur Biyosa. So, obviously, such a person would not serve as a dayan. So, that would invalidate all the garrison, just like that. There are other factors involved. You have all these garrison that were being done by non-from settings. So then you have all the serious problems of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, or anything we spoke about last week. Kabbalah and Mitzvahs is an integral part of Geirus. So how do you figure out what exactly is the bare-bone minimum definition of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs? We spoke about some of the nuances last time. But you have a situation where a fellow is Makabel, it's a joke. The quote-unquote rabbi is not Makabel Mitzvah. The rabbi himself is not a short-term Mitzvah. So the Geirus is a short-term Mitzvah. So the whole thing is a very, very shaky. So a lot of these non-Torah authentic garrison are knocked out of the box on two grounds. They're missing the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, and they're missing the Dayanim, so that is those are two. Both of them, either one independently would knock out the garrison. We have a combination of factors that seriously, brought the question. Does it mean automatically that every single garrison done, that every single member of a non-Torah clergy is automatically possible? There were, over the years, less now than there were over the years, same people, although they identified publicly and professionally with certain other denominations of Judaism, but in their own personal life were Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and some of them in their own personal life were actually Maminim also. So what were they doing identifying professionally? So the answer is they needed a parnasa. So they were doing certain things that maybe they shouldn't have been doing. I'm not here to judge, I'm not here to judge people. So it could be that just because a person had that was associated with a certain other set, that is not an absolute 1,000% statement that is possibly a diamond. I'm just saying that it's cause for significant concern. It's cause for significant derishma hakira to see whether that person was really up to par. But as a general rule, people who are associated with other kinds of denominations, generally themselves were not up to par in terms of their shmiras and mitzvahs, and more often than not, they went up to par in terms of the basic emunas, the emunah touch from them, the halachic process, halachic system, and the way we define term in the Shemayim, the way the emotional defines term in the Shemayim. So when all those things are lacking, those run into very, very serious questions that indicators that were being done by these kinds of other groups of people. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is we need a basis.
Would attendance or graduation from certain institutions automatically disqualify you from being a dayan?
So I wouldn't say that. I'm not going to go for so far as to say that just because a person attended, you know, school such and such, you know, does that automatically mean it's enough for a reason for raise up and try to figure out what's really going on. But I'm not going to point fingers at any person per se. I would say that the same way that 40, 50 years ago in America, attending certain institutions was a cause for very serious concern. So that same concern has now been carried over into our world as well. The particular institution that was such a concern 40 years ago is not our greatest challenge. Not that there are very few people coming out of there who are serving as quote-unquote rabbis. There are other institutions, at home, that are coming on the campus, other institutions that are producing people, and we know for a fact that there are certain very, very non-Torah dikashkafas that are emanating from certain people and certain faculties in these places. So it raises a serious concern. We have to figure out and see, is this particular person in hand? Is he want to be in debt? Is he also a kosher katar? Does he also have these fucking kosher questions? So we have to figure
it out. If it was done, I want to know that they didn't really have to do it over.
You have to do it over again. So you have to do it over again. That question is, Mila may be able to, depending on what you think about how much the day is going to supervise, we didn't get to that part yet about the deal of people should go to the base. So some of the years we have to be done again, so we have to see which parts we don't know. So the bottom line is, we need a Beis Din. Beis Din has to be a kosher Beis Din. That has to be smuchim. It's got to be a kosher Beis Din. What does the Beis Din have to do exactly? Which part of the Geirus is the Beis Din involved in? So much of the discussion in the Rishonim revolves around one very, very cryptic Gemara. We mentioned that in the first Shia. It's a pivotal Gemara in this entire Sukkot Gevurah. That's the story the Gemara tells in the fourth Brachah Yevamos about a certain woman who had converted, and apparently the Gevurah wasn't done up to par. It's not even 100% clear what the issue was, but the mice of the Gevurah doesn't seem to have done properly. And when the Shia came to the Amoraim, so this woman apparently had gotten married in the Amoraim. She was part of the Jewish community for many years, and now someone was befaktik, and the Gevurah was 20 years before. So the Gemara says, don't worry about it. The Gevurah says, okay, why? Milo tovel l'nidusa. That the woman has tovel for Hilchos Nida purposes. So we know she's from, she's married, she's going to pick every month. Even though she, 20 years ago, the Gevurah may have been the questionable, but subsequently she's gotten the mikvah, and those subsequent fuels are good. So if you remember, we spoke about this plainly in the beginning, this Gemara seems to indicate that a tevila shavol l'shem Gevurah should suffice. A tevila l'shem Yadus, in a sense, a tevila for Jewish religious ritual purposes, can double the tevila of Gevurah. So some of them want to be a Rav Mila, right? We spoke about this, Shaila. Maybe a mila done for mitzvah purposes can double. Maybe it's the same kind of thing, perhaps. So this Gemara is very, very problematic. So the Rishonim are very, very concerned with this Gemara on multiple levels. But the basic question that the Rishonim are bothered with is amazing. I just got finished saying that Yesh this guy, but nobody else will enter the game. We're finishing Yavamas, but they have a couple of places in Yavamas. The Gemara says, you need a base in the Kufa, then a Turk, no one's ever spoken. And here, we're turning around and saying, whatever was done in the basement 20 years ago wasn't done properly. But don't worry about it, the woman went to the mikvah the last 3 years every month, but everything is done. Humpy dory. Humpy dory. Where's the basement? That's the cash that all the Shabbat problems. So how you answer that cash is going to have some very, very serious ramifications. So there's one opinion of Shabbat that I referred to before the board kind of says, the Rambam's quote the opinion that says, that what do you mean there's no basement? There was a basement there. What's amazing? He says you need three people there. All you need is one dayan to be there. That's it. Either Gemara says Getzar Shloisha. So the Gemara says Getzar Shloisha. That's because Rabbi Yechon who made that statement. He happened to tell that you need three dayanim for adults and adults. But we paskin, all you need is one. And we question who we are. But those who show paskin one is good enough. So we hold that the question is better than the answer. You don't need three dayanim for Getzar. All you need is one. And one person, someone was there at the time of the tefillah, and therefore everything's okay. So the Mordechai quotes other Rishonim who ask of that opinion. Say, wait a second. Even Zozan, even if you want to tell me that one is good enough, which is a big tradition, Shulchan doesn't even quote this as a possibility, but even if you want to go down the route that one dayan, the evidence is good enough, but it has to be a kosher dayan, and a woman's not sure to do that. Who's watching? Who's in the mikvah? Who's going to the mikvah at night? She doesn't need to. Where are the men? There's no men watching it. So it must be that it's a woman, the mikvah lady. So she's the dayan. She's the shofetet. She's the dayan. Well, what kind of Mishnah says that? The Mishnah says in the Maseches Nida that a woman can't be a dayan. So therefore, this answer is rejected. So what did that answer in the Rishonim hold? So clearly that answer in the Rishonim that day in the morning must have held that there is no Mishnah that says a woman can't be a dayan. It's not true. The Mishnah says a woman can't be an aid. The Mishnah seems to say aid is for the yadam go hand in hand, but not absolutely. So in one lone place, Tosfos in one place dug up the Teretz, Tosfos says that maybe in your wildest dreams, maybe a woman is kosher to be a dayan. Doesn't say Shas, black and white, a woman is supposed to be a dayan. It implies that the Mishnah can need a sound that way. You put together the Mishnah Shavuos that says a woman can't be an aid, with the Mishnah need that it sounds like aid and the other go hand in hand. So you connect the dots, it sounds like a woman can't be a dime. It's not the fairish. So there's one day in places that suggests that maybe in a wild dream a woman can be shared to be a dime. So that one had probably held up that day in places. So every place Tosis realizes this dilemma, so Tosis in Baba Kama, Tosis, and every time this issue comes up, Tosis has the same thing, has the same passion. How did Devorah, how was she a Shofetas? If the Tashas in all the Sugyas is, that a woman can't be dying, what was going on in Sefer Shoftim? So every place does the same answer. Sometimes it says that either it was Afi Navi, the whole Rosh Hashanah, or she wasn't really pasking, she was just, you know, telling the Rabban, she was looking at the Tzitzis and telling the Rabban where the Tzitzis and what she was giving the Rabban, whatever. Tzitzis gives a lot of different answers, what the answer was, but Tzitzis in every place in Shas says it can't be she was Rabban to die, it would be against the Shnai, it's going to be clearly not the case. So there was one day in Tzitzis that seemed to hold the truth up. In Shulchan Aruch, this day is not quoted, it's not misyachis, it's not even a yeshon, not a havamish, not a havamish. So all the mishabroi who discovered, all of a sudden, the great Kiyam Shas, they discovered this Tosis. They didn't know the Tosis. Nobody goes to the Tosis. The people who discovered this Tosis are the people who, they Google again, Google Shmenim, and Google the next life. And somebody remembered there was one yeshomim in Tosis that says this. So anyone who got past learning on Google realizes that one yeshomim was a yeshomim, that's all it was. It was rejected. It was never quoted on Allah. Nobody ever held like that. And we don't accept that on Allah. But for your own trivia and piece of information, so you should know. In case you want to sound like you're smart as people on Google, so there's one day in Taisha that held that way, and there's one day in Mordechai and Yevamos, the fourth practice that held that way. But we don't pass. So we who don't paskin that way, we're back to square one. So what shot in the story? So where's the Beis Din? What happened to the Beis Din? So that's the real question. The Tosfos in Yavam is quotes the Yesh Mefarshim. That's more popular than Yesh. It quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, but where the Tosfos quotes that maybe the answer is as follows: that that there was a Beis Din. Who's the Beis Din? The Beis Din are where the Beis Din. The Olam is the Beis Din. We know Mrs. Go. So Mrs. Levy, we know she's a religious woman, and she's a lady in her 30s. We know she goes to the mikveh. Everyone knows she goes to the mikveh. Anybody saw her go to the mikveh? No, but we know she goes to the mikveh. That's what the Yeshua Farshman says. That's what Abi should be below the year. We know that something is true, even though nobody probably saw it with their own eyes. That's good enough. Rabbi Din, that's considered to be a Beis Din. So we are the Beis Din. We're the three rabbis in town, the bottom of Farshman Heights. We're the Rabbanim. We know that this married woman goes to the mikveh, but we are hereby supervising our tefillah, and that's good enough for a Beis Din. That's Tosfos Chidush. Where did Tosfos come up with such a thing? That's called a Beis Din. Does the Beis Din have to see? He state the Beis Din can know, and that's good enough. That's a big Chidush. So, yeah, that's what it said. That's a whole sugi about that. The Masechet Gittin about when you have Eidus Kedushin, so the after the Eidim Umamish see them, the ring itself, what do they know the ring was given? For the Gittin, but they didn't see the Bia Mamish. They saw a couple going to a room, but they know they had Bia. Maybe that's good enough. So there is such a concept in Halacha of perhaps Yediyah below Yediyah. So Tosfos invokes this idea as a possible solution to that dilemma. Maybe that was going on in the story. So Rav Moshe made this Tosfos famous. Rav Moshe, otherwise, unless I learned before thank you very much, you wouldn't remember this Tosfos. But Rav Moshe quotes this Tosfos in his famous Shuv Bechol Yisrael. The Mishnah says in the Sechta Vezor, in the second parak, that you're not allowed to drink milk that was milked by a goy, unless there was a Jew watching it. The English wrote, hey, you're sort of milk is tray. It's also in the Rabban. Why? Because we're afraid, unless we're parsha, we have milk coming from a tray for animal tray. So we're afraid that maybe the goy mixed in a little bit of tray for milk into the milk. It's not a chashash min haTorah. Min haTorah, there's nothing to worry about. Why is it not a problem in haTorah? So Chashash explains a couple of reasons why. Either because rove, the animals floating around, the probably kosher animals, unlikely that it gave us chazanot. And if it would just be chazanot by itself, it would be recognizable. What we're afraid of is that he mixed a little bit of chazanot into the kosher milk. So min haTorah is blocked anyway, min haTorah rove. So min haTorah is probably no problem. But the Rabbanan, there's a takonis of chavim, not to rely on all these kulas. And with the Rabbanan, you require Yisroel or Eyuza. Misha says, Chazam made a takona, that Chol of Akum, Yisroel A was straight from the Rabbanan. So Rav Moshe writes, what does Yisroel A mean? Does Yisroel A mean you have to look with your eyes and not see? Or A means you have to know. So what if I know without seeing? So Rav Moshe says, what's the problem? Rav Moshe says, Maduch, with Shal of Gamers, and Shal of Deraisa, places called the Yesh Mefarshim that says that Eidus Yediyah below Ra'iyah is good enough. So for the Din Rabbanan, it's Kal Din Rabbanan, calls the Chol Yisroel, which is not there anyway, it's Bokhim Barol, Midderaisa, there's nothing to worry about anyway. So for this Din, this Chum Midderabbanan, so Yediyah below Ra'iyah would be good enough. So Moshe says, if you have Yediyah, then you're okay. What's maybe Yediyah? How do you know you have Yediyah? So Moshe says, from a government supervision, what Meshubna in today's world, in America, 2018, would ever think you're putting camel's book into the book? Meshubna. The guy's going to get caught. He'll be on TV. He'll be in the newspapers. He's going to get fined by the FDA billions of dollars. They're going to shut down his whole dairy plant. So I know for a fact that I'm going to the store. I walked into the shop and I buy a container of milk. So I know that it's cow's milk because it's against the law in America to put anything else in. And nobody would ever risk such a crazy thing. So Rav Moshe writes, good. Well, the FDA is telling you, you have idea from the FDA that it's okay. Remember a couple of years ago, there was a strike. And the whole FDA was... I was on strike for a couple of days. So somebody asked me, with a Landry book, I said, what do you think? You think that all the farmers for the last 200 years, they've been plotting and waiting to put the camel's milk in, and now the FDA is on strike for the day. Everyone's running to the houses and putting the camel's milk with sugar. He said, just because the FDA went on vacation for 3 days, so all of a sudden all the milk became trade for America. I thought that was a big joke. Anyway.
The Gemara says that we require near tests in order to kind of ensure that we not do it.
Right, so Rav Moshe writes, that we have the mirror test.
Right, but even if we know for a fact, even if we know that, like, with Tzius writes, he will not add in non-kosher milk, but there's no mirror test.
Well, first of all, there is mirror test.
There is mirror test. I'm saying, like,
Rav Moshe says, even our mirror says that, but we have an idea. We saw it. Rav Moshe says, if I know, I can say that I know for certainty that in fact is true. So Rav Moshe says, if my facts are right, then I can say that with certainty. So technically, do I saw it? So that's quote the story. That's Rav Moshe's true, but a lot of people ask, are you machber chol b'shul? I'm not machber chol b'shul. That's not a true statement. If you say not mak b'chol shol, means you're eating treif. The Mishnah says you have to keep chol shol. No beis din was ever spacked though. Pasish shol, the beis din maybe was malachim. Chol shol was never spacked by a beis din. So when a person says I'm not keeping chol shol, that's in, what they really need to say is that I'm not insisting there's a rabbi who won't wipe it standing in the barn and washing the milking. But I am relying is an Uncle Sam, the FDA, watching on my behalf, and we become as the other become the beis din. So we become the Eidim HaRo'eil. So far we have a few answers to explain a bit what's going on in the Sugi Yilam. The scheme of Shad is that it's based on oily is one Dayan, which is a Chiddush Bobo, and you can have a woman being a Dayan, which is a Chiddush and not a Chiddush. Or you go down the Yesh Mepharsh to say that Eidim Shadivla or E is good enough. Those are two of the, almost like the fringe answers to the Kasha. The more conventional answers to the Kasha presented by Tosfos and Rush. So next week you have to see what the more in terms of Sugi Shacharos the answers are. And where these answers are going to take us in terms of some very, very important consequences for the open state location. Next week, we'll continue with this.
So, 80s is more common than
90s? Yeah, it's even more common, yeah.
So, is there certain institutions that make